The latest national climate assessment says forests play a key role in keeping our air clean. According to the report, America's forests store the equivalent of 11% of the country's CO2 emissions over a 25-year period. That's because when trees breathe, they suck up carbon dioxide, release oxygen, and store that leftover carbon in their trunks. But as Connecticut Public Radio's Patrick Scahill reports, how scientists determine the amount of carbon stored in a tree is a question up for debate.
When Bob Mara goes into the woods, he takes a tool with him, a hammer, his magic sonic hammer.
It's not called a magic sonic hammer. It's called the sonic hammer, but I call it the magic sonic hammer just because it looks kind of cool.
Mara is a biologist with the Connecticut Agricultural Experiment Station. And while the hammer isn't magical, it's about to do something pretty cool. Help us look inside a tree. To do that, Mara hammers nails into the trunk of a sugar maple in northwest Connecticut, girdling the tree with sensors. Then he circles, tapping on each nail. Each tap is recorded by a very polite computer.
Please, measurements at this spot have been recorded.
Mara's recording sound waves, measuring how fast sound travels from the nail he hits to all the other nails around the tree. It's called sonic tomography. Think of it like a CAT scan for trees, a way to peer inside a trunk without drilling to see if a tree is rotting or solid wood.
The denser the wood, the faster the sound waves.
Dense wood is really good at storing carbon, but if a tree is less dense inside, that could indicate decay, and also that the tree might not be as good at storing carbon as we think. Using a grant from the National Science Foundation, Mara tested his tomography idea, scanning around 70 trees in northwest Connecticut. He found dozens were rotting inside, even ones that on the outside looked good.
What's going on inside of these trees is kind of hidden to us for the most part. Trees that otherwise look to be perfectly fine and you would have no reason to think otherwise can have internal decay taking place.
Mara says that's an important consideration, especially when it comes to carbon storage or sequestration.
If we're going to look to forests as a way to sequester carbon, we should develop much more accurate estimates of how much carbon is actually sequestered.
Because, well, there are whole markets based on this. Like in California, its aggressive pollution regulations have fostered an expansive cap-and-trade program. California polluters can offset emissions by buying up carbon credits, and landowners across America can profit by proving their forest is really good at storing atmospheric carbon. Rajinder Sahota is with the California Air Resources Board, which oversees the program. She explains the process.
What you do is you have a measurement at the beginning of that time period that says, here's how much is in my forest.
Then, through yearly audits, landowners prove their land, over time, can store carbon in a way that's better than business as usual.
Here's how my forest looks relative to what is the common amount of stored carbon. And here's how much, if I undertake some activities, I can increase that carbon storage in my forest.
But measuring all that, well, here's where it gets tricky.
You look at any tree, especially a hardwood tree, and look at its shape. I mean, that's really complex.
Christopher Woodall is a researcher with the U.S. Forest Service. His equations are used by California to calculate stored carbon.
You estimate the volume, and then you got to figure out the biomass within that volume, and then turn that into an estimate of carbon.
To do that, foresters don't go out and look at every tree. Instead, they sample, measuring a variety of trees and plugging those numbers into a complex model. But forestry science is evolving. Woodall has since published work saying the equations need to be improved, in part because new technologies are making biomass estimates more efficient and precise.
I think we're not too far away from not necessarily sampling trees in the U.S., but actually having a true census. Eventually, with a combination of satellites and with drones and laser scanning, we're headed to the point where we might be able to know something about every tree in the U.S.
He says that could happen soon or in 50 years. But for now, scientists are taking baby steps, trying to assess the role of forests in climate change, because, as Woodall says, it's too important to ignore. Patrick Scahill, Connecticut Public Radio.